Maritanga and the True Stories of Māori Who Have Achieved Incredible Things. The book, Kia Kaha, by Stacey Morrison and Jeremy Sherlock, documents 49 Māori people and groups who blazed a trail and changed the world. It features people like Se Aparana Nata, Patricia Grace, Billy T. James, Meri Te Tai Manga Kahia, and many, many more. It's a beautiful pukapuka filled with glorious illustrations by 12 Māori artists, and while it's targeted at rangatira, at younger people, it's sure to attract readers of any age. Stacey Morrison, of course, a broadcaster and a longtime champion of te reo Māori and a frequent guest on the show, and Jeremy Sherlock, a writer, editor, and publisher, interested in all things Maritanga. Kia ora, kōrera, welcome both.
Morena.
Morena, Catherine.
Lovely to have you both with us. Tell me about the motivation for this book, for each of you.
I'll go first because Jeremy's like that. He's used to putting people first, and so this was a nice opportunity for him to join in. So Jeremy's been our publisher and supporter of our books for maybe 11, 12 years. And when I say us, I mean me and my husband, Scotty. So he was the genius behind the first books that Scotty's done and Māori Made Easy. So this was a nice opportunity to work together. And it's actually about creating visible heroes. And I take that term from some feedback that I got this week, actually, from a teacher saying it's really important for tamariki to have visible heroes. And so that's what this was about, a storybook and a way to celebrate our stories, but also encourage everyone to look into the stories of their whānau and their iwi and share them with the world. Is that okay, Jeremy? Did I do okay?
Good job, Stacey. I would certainly agree with that, and the feedback I've had is very much the same about putting these stories out there for people to see, and not only that, to be inspired by, and that was always one of our very major goals.
You write in the preface that when each of you were younger, you lacked these role models. You did not see books published or stories told. Certainly there were the stories told within whānau, but not in books. And Jeremy, you're a long-time publisher. Things may have changed a bit, but actually not enough.
I think not enough is correct. We can always have more. It's also very fair to say and timely to say that there's been some major ground made in the last decade or so. I think language, te reo, has gone leaps and bounds, and there's many books and guides out there. But anything that champions our people and their achievements, their stories, is powerful, you know. And I might claim to know a little bit about Māori history, but working on the project, I found hugely inspiring and hugely powerful reconnecting with stories I knew a lot about and many that actually I knew very little. So hopefully it can get out there and do some really amazing work for readers of all ages and all times.
Stacey, I'm sure it's your genius and Jeremy's also that this is a book aimed at younger readers, obviously, inspiring new generations, but which is completely readable, as he's alluded to, for any age. You hear me, Stacey? We may have just lost her. Jeremy, do you want to pick up?
Sorry, that just cut out for a second. Oh, sorry.
You're off. I can hear you. You're off.
Oh, me now?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes. I was just saying, it's part of your genius, each of you, that while it's aimed at younger readers, it's clearly extremely readable for people of any age.
Yeah, well, and sorry, it's probably the Wi-Fi being used by three students we still have at home at the moment. It's sad but true that I absolutely got my biggest thrills from Sir Mason Drury saying this is the most intelligible bio that he's read about himself, because that's all it's supposed to be. Sometimes, you know, we can be fancy, and he's an incredible academic who I really admire, but do I want people to understand it and remember it and to have a connection on a human level of someone like Sir Mason Drury, who is very clever, but he didn't ever use his education to be better than other people, but to make things better for other people. So it's really about creating images and memories, and also really recognizing that our childhood stories form us, and our experiences form us, and kind of giving a little insight into some of those and why it makes the person.
You mentioned images, and this is the other striking thing about the book, how beautifully it is illustrated, and by several young artists. Please tell me about some of them.
It's so exciting because if you are living your Instagram life, you'll know quite a few of these artists. But Jeremy, is it fair to say that there sometimes has been, I guess, not as many Māori artists in digital illustration and book illustration in the past?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think for many years, there's probably been the same few that were used by various publishers or other media. Whereas one of the things we really did seek to do with the book is to celebrate or champion those who might be lesser known, as well as those who are somewhat household names. And so in the intro, I think you said 12. I in fact think we have 14 illustrators who contributed a variety of illustrations. And to be honest, we always wanted the book to be gorgeous, to be giftable, to be a really illustrative celebration. We never expected we'd get material like we did. They're just uniformly amazing.
It captures the spirit of each of these people, you know. It. I can't put into words actually how impactful these illustrations are. They seem to have been able to look deep into and deep inside the person whose story they are representing or whose image they are providing here. Let's get to how you chose 49 across such a wide range of high achievers, and we begin with Sir Apurana Nata, and we move through education, we move through politics, we've got Supreme Court Judge Justice Joe Williams in there, we have got Nader Glavish in there. Now that I've started, I can't stop. Was it in fact easier to choose them than those to leave out?
Yeah, exactly. It was a painful experience, actually, because we could write this book four times over, and if the world allows, we'd love to do that, and realise, there's slightly better ways, easier ways that we could do things, because we were hoping that no one would notice 49 as opposed to 50.
I wonder if there was a significance to that.
No, we needed to leave more time. I'm going to wear that one. I needed more time to engage with a really special kōrero. And hopefully we'll get there. But no, it's not supposed to be a full encyclopedia at all. It's just a sampling that hopefully has some variants and gives you a widespread kind of look at different ways of being creative. So when we look at Taika Waititi, the thing that I really wanted to capture with him is that his ability to remember his childhood and to touch his movies with that innocent yet insightful and humorous way of looking at the world is his genius, part of his genius. So I guess what we want to do is show different ways of being. And then with Keisha Castle-Hughes, I said to her, is it okay that I've tried to find a way of talking about how she's had different mental health challenges in her life, but not give it a label in particular, but just highlight how the flip side of some really big feelings that she's had to work through in her life is that she can portray those feelings on screen in a way that really touches people. So trying to imagine a child who's reading this and going, that sounds a bit like me. And everyone needs that, I believe, as a child, to see someone who looks like them and that they may be able to relate to, and that they've been successful and they've found a way to carve their path in life.
So when it came to telling the stories, some of these wonderful people, of course, are no longer are with us. Well, they are with us, but just differently. and others are young, and you're able to sit and interview them. When it came to how you would gather and present the information in a way that's, achieves what you want to achieve for your readers here. It looks to me like a tremendous amount of research, but a tremendous amount of writing and thinking about how to write this, yeah?
Yes, I think that's a very fair assessment. So the way we tended to work, I think, I can certainly speak for myself, but I gather Stacey was much the same. We would draft Well, there was a lot of research to begin with, and almost a lot of time in thinking about how to attack it. We've only got roughly 400 words for each subject. And if you were to take someone like Ngata, I mean, where do you start? But once we'd figured that out, even vaguely, and then drafted a piece, it was then about sharing it with each other, but also with the subject if they were still around and still alive, and if not, their. The subject's descendants. And so we had a really, really lovely time dealing with these descendants and subjects who were uniformly so warm and so helpful with what we were doing. And we really only had a small handful who had decent rewrites or things to add. It was really, I think people really appreciated the kaupapa and were very excited that they were involved.
Stacey, you said at the start, and it's in the book also, that this isn't just about bringing these stories to rangatahi. It's about inspiring them to go looking for their own in their own whānau. And could you speak a little bit more to that? Because as we said, it's not like these stories weren't known and weren't shared orally. It's just that so few have been given their due place in our published literature, right? So this is not just about them. This is about sparking curiosity and going and finding out more and recording one's own history, right?
Yeah, and that's the only way I could feel peace with having a limited number of people in here because so many deserve to be. And then I think about the books that I had as a child, and it gives a validity. And it's a hard thing when our culture is very much an oral tradition, and we want to have all of that richness of oral tradition. And yet there's something about the visibility of books, the status of books and where they sit in our educational life, that means that if we don't see ourselves celebrated in those situations, then there's no way that a child doesn't pick that up. And so I remember loving a series of books called the Values books, and they were about famous people in history. But see, this is why I knew about people like Jackie Robinson, which is kind of weird. But also, I just really liked his was about the value of courage. And I could relate to that. And I could see what courage he needed to be able to, be an athlete as a black man at that time, and how it might have felt to be left out just because of the color of his skin. So I think what we wanted to do was to contribute to what classrooms look like now, and the teachers that have already given us feedback. And they're just those teachers that you can tell set a kid's mind alight. They've already used it for Aotearoa history's curriculum. They've asked them to draw pictures of other people. Just knowing that there is something that you could maybe end up making a book like this or doing your own version of it. I know, like I used to do, I used to draw my own versions of books all the time. Still not a very good illustrator, but that's an opportunity. So let's remind kids that they can do that, and if you can see it, you can be it.
Jeremy, it's a difficult time to be a publisher and to be in the book business at the moment, with all these hassles and supply chain delays. And I'm just looking at the amount of work that's gone into this between the amount of writing and the telling of the stories and the cooperation with, 49 different people, or their whānau, and then the illustrators as well. A mammoth, mammoth effort. But are you proud's not the right word. What is the right word in te reo, please, with what this is?
Well, it's actually, yeah, he pai te ra whakaaro. It's good to think about it in terms of te reo Māori, because we're kind of māngai, we're just mouthpieces for this. It's not our kōrero, really. So it's an unusual situation. But you're right. But I don't, as much as Māori books and especially what Jeremy has brought to the world might have some success in a commercial form, it's hardly ever about that. And Jeremy can probably speak to that tension of what you want to make and what's important for you to make, and then making sure it's commercially viable to make it.
Yeah. What I would say to that, I'm not. I think I've said to friends and family myself that if I had nothing to do with this book, I would still think it's really special. And That might sound slightly self-interested, but it's really speaking to what Stacey just touched on, which is, I think once the project is out there, once it's out there connecting with people, it's going to have quite a major impression. And in terms of the book's quote mark success out there, of course we'd love for it to sell well. That equals readers and gift givers, I suppose. And that's really, really important. But in the short term, to speak to your point, Catherine, about the immediate obstacles with supply chain, what have you. That's a real problem. All publishers are doing their very best and actually doing a remarkable job within it. I guess what I'd say to that is we've still got some time before the year's out. Christmas is looming very quickly. The book's available, so that's all we can do. Beyond that, I've just got every hope that it's not about the short term anyway. This book should be out there for some time, and hopefully connecting with many, many readers for the years to come.
I guess it's just to acknowledge that what is always an important but challenging profession that you are in is particularly difficult at the moment. So I imagine every one of these that's born into the world is it's definitely something to celebrate, that's for sure, especially something of this calibre. Ngā mihi nui, and thanks both of you very much. It's always lovely to talk. Kia ora korua, Stacey Morrison and Jeremy Sherlock. And the book is Kia Kaha, published by Penguin Random House, $45, the price for a hardback, absolutely lusciously illustrated.